Today's Shem Sechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Vav. We will begin on Daf Kuf Mem Hey Amid Beis, four lines from the bottom, where Rabbi Yochanan continues to answer some questions. The question was asked from Neima Talmidei Chachamim Shebavel Mitzuyonim. Why do we find that the Talmidei Chachamim who live in Bavel are always careful to wear nice clothing? So he says, Fisheinim B'nei Mekayimam. They're in Golos. This is not their place. The place is in Eretz Yisrael. And somebody who goes to Golus in a place where he is not known has to wear nice clothing so people should recognize his greatness. People should recognize who he is. If they don't know him, they'll recognize it through his clothing. Damri Inshi, first people indeed say, Pemasa, where I live, Shamoi, my reputation is what makes me known to the people. B'loy Masa, but if it's not where I live, Tosvoi, the way I can be respected and people will recognize who I am, is Tosvoi, through my clothing. The Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Haboim Yashrish Yaakov, V'yotzitz Uparach Yisrael. Tanya Rabbi Yosef, Elu Talmid Chum Shebavel. The Pasuk refers to the Talmid Chum who live in Bavel. Sh'oisim tzitzim uprochem l'toira. Again, because they lived, that they were great Talmid Chumim. And it's not the question if they were Talmid Chumim or not. The issue, however, is that they weren't well known. And because they weren't well known, they had no choice but to put on nice clothing to become respected. We also discussed Neima Avdik Chavim Mizohamim. Why do we find that by the Akum there's this level of impurity? Not that Baruch Hashem doesn't exist by Klal Yisrael. So says the Gemara, Shloi Amdal Har Sinai, because they weren't by Har Sinai. For explains the Gemara, Shabbat Nochash al Chava, when Chava had relations with the Nochash when she did the Avera, Hitaba Zahuma, he inserted in her a level of impurity. Yisrael Shamdo Har Sinai, Klai Yisrael that were by Har Sinai, Paskuzu Masam, their impurity ended. However, the Akum, Shloyam Dal Har Sinai, that didn't have Kabbalah attire, weren't by Har Sinai, Pasku Zumosam. Amalar of Achabre the Ravalar Vashi, Gerimai. What will we say about the Gerim? They weren't by Har Sinai. So how does the Ger that becomes part of Klai Yisrael lose his impurity? Amalhu, Afagav de Inu Lehava, they themselves weren't by Har Sinai. Mazloi Hava, their mazel was by Har Sinai. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, as Shishyeshna Pa Imane Imane Yoyim Ufnei Hashem Lekenu, those that are here, Veshishyenenu Pa, who does that mean to the Gerim? That they also came to a level of purity. But I once saw a beautiful pshat, that we know that Klal Yisrael, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to offer them the Torah, all said, Nasa V'Nishma. And the Umas Olam, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, refused to accept the Torah. They didn't say Nasa V'Nishma. So I saw, Rabbi Kivega says, it's inconceivable and it's not what happened that all Jews said Nasa V'Nishma. And it's also inconceivable that all the Akum refused to accept the Torah. So he explains, the Jews who weren't ready to mekabel the Torah, over the generations are the Jews who left Klal Yisrael. And the Jews and the non-Jews who wanted to receive the Torah were by Har Sinai. And that's what our Gemara says, that their mazel, they were there to some degree. However, this that Rabbi Yochanan says, that the Zuma of Klal Yisrael did not go away until they came to Har Sinai, Pligad Rav Abba Kahana is in conflict with Rav Abba Kahana. Dam Rav Abba Kahana, Achlosh Dorish LePosko Zuma Mavaseinu. It took three generations for the Zuma to cleave Klal Yisrael. And that's what we find, he explains, that Avram Hoyle Yishmael. Where does the Yishmael come to Avram Avinu? Because he had in him, Avram Avinu still had some of the Suhama. Yitzchak koyled as Esav. How does Yitzchak have an Esav? Because Yitzchak still had a remnant of this Zuama. Yaakov, by the time it came to Yaakov Avinu, hoyled shnei masu shvatim, shloyahoy ben shum doifi, they were all pure, all tzaddikim. So Agamar says, Yisrael sh'omdu al har Sinai pasku zuamason. So there's a famous word from the Kedushas Levi, which actually is a rivet. We say every year at the Seder, when we say the Dayenu, Ilu karvonu lufnei har Sinai, v'lei nosu lanu satayra, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have brought us to har Sinai and not have given us the Torah, Dayenu, that would be great. The question is, of course, asked the Kedushas Levi, what's the point of coming to har Sinai, v'lei nosu lanu satayra, without receiving the Torah? So he answers, what did Al Gemara just teach us? Al Gemara taught us that by Har Sinai, Pasko Hazamason. When did that happen? The words of Al Gemara are, Omdu al Har Sinai, as they stood by Har Sinai. So since as they stood at Har Sinai, they lost the Zuhuma, so we thank Hashem, even if we had received the Torah, but the fact that we were able to get rid of this impurity from our system is something that, of course, we thank you for. So I saw that the Sefer Melitzei Eish quotes Rab Nochem Mitchnobel that we learned a Gemara earlier in our Masechta on Daf Kuf Hei Amabez, Lo Yibcha El Zor, Ezu El Zor, Shemagufa Shal Adam. The Pasuk says that there shouldn't be within you a false god. And the question is, where is there such a false god in our system? So Gemara says that the Yetzer Hara. What is it meant by the Yetzer Hara? The Yetzer Hara is meant gaiva. That a person is arrogant. We know that what happened at Har Sinai. At Har Sinai, we learned the lesson of Har Sinai, because as the Gemara says, the Torah was given in Har Sinai, because Har Sinai is the lowest of all the mountains. So at Har Sinai, we learned the midah of anava, the midah of being modest, of being humble. When we learn the lesson of being modest and humble, then we lose any impurity. But the Yitzchak Moshe says another interesting pshat. He says, if we look at the Seres HaDibris in Parshas Yisroi, the pasuk, the last of the Seres HaDibris, says Leisachmoid. The last of the Seres HaDibris, as the Seres HaDibris are taught in Parshas Veschanan, says Leisasava. Why is there a difference that here the Torah uses the words Leisachmoid and there it uses the word Leisasava? So he says a very interesting pshat. Sachmoid and Sasava mean that you want to do something that you're not supposed to do. But what's the difference between Chemda and Taiva? He says, chemda means something that comes from an external source. I see something and I want it. I see somebody doing something wrong and I want to copy him. Taiva is something which is internal. So he says, by Har Sinai, as we just learned, which is represented with the Luchas Rishonis, Parshas Yisroi, all of their internal Yetzahara, their internal Zuama, was removed. So any desire to do an Aveira only came from external sources. That's why the Torah uses the word Sachmoid. Whereas, when Klal Yisrael read in Luchos Shniyos, Parshas Veschanan, that was after the Chet Ha'Egel, that's after the Yetzahara came back into the system, after the Zuhama re-entered the system. So then the desire to do an Aveira sometimes doesn't come from an external source. The desire comes even from an internal source. And that's why the Torah says, in those luchais, loisasava. So our Mishnah, the next Mishnah, Mitzvashem, sort of changes subjects. And the subject that we begin discussing is under what circumstances and how not may one open a basket, a keli, on Shabbos, because it's a question of tikkun keli. Is it, when is it considered that you formed a keli? When is it considered that you broke a keli, that it should be mutter or asa? So teaches us the Mishnah, shoiver adam es achavis, a person could break open a cask, lecha mimena grigris, in order to eat the dry figs in them. Uvach lo yiskaven lasas keli. As long as he has no intention to make a proper keli. And Rashi explains, the reason you're allowed to do it is because you're breaking it open. And if it's breaking, it's kilkel. And kilkel is not osur on Shabbos. So many Rishonim asked that although kilkel is not osur midaraisa on Shabbos, it's osur midrabbanan. As we learned in the Mishnah, on daf kof hei amabeis, kol makalkalin peturim, and peturim always means potav al osur. So the question is, how does Rashi just say, because it's a makalkal, and that's how he's explaining our Mishnah actually, there is no concern because it's a kilkel, and kilkel is not a problem on Shabbos. So there are two approaches that the Rishonim and the Achronim suggest. One approach, the Rashba and other Rishonim suggest, is that since this is being open, lekavod Shabbos, for Oinik Shabbos, so since with the Raisa there's no Isser, and it's also a kilkel, so when it's Letzorich Oinik Shabbos, it's Mutter. The others say that the basis of Rashi's approach is because Rashi's of the opinion Ein Binya Bekalim, and if there's Ein Binya Bekalim, Ein Stira Bekalim, so there is no issue involved in doing this. So this is the basis for many halachas. Are you allowed to do koreya? And again, the question is, can you do koreya when it's only in a drabonon diga way that will only it's only in Issa drabonon and it's letzorich onik Shabbos? The Mordechai has a different approach. Mordechai's approach is that it's no different than cracking a nut. And just like cracking a nut is mutter on Shabbos to get out the nut, here too, it's compared, this container is compared to a nutshell, and since it's compared to a nutshell, opening it up is mutter. So the question is, when does a keli have the din of a keli? And when does a keli have the din of a nutshell? So the Magen Avraham says that something that's only used to temporarily hold the item that's in it is considered like a nutshell. Something that's used on a more permanent basis is considered a keli. And here, where they apparently, the way that Mordechai explains, these keli were only used to hold these dates until they ripened. So that's something which is by definition temporary, and therefore it's mutter. Tosfos has a different approach. Tosfos's approach is that our Mishnah is not talking about a regular keli. A regular keli cannot be opened on Shabbos, even though it's a makalkel, but its makalkel is also midrabbanan. Here, we're talking about an inferior vessel, which was once broken and then glued together. So the keli in the first place is a weak keli. When you're not dealing with a full-fledged keli, then, and you're breaking it open, that's mutter, there's no issue even midrabbanan. So, of course, as we discuss this halacha, the question that comes up is regarding opening different containers on Shabbos. So the Tzitz Eliezer, the Shas HaTshuva's Tzitz Eliezer, has a lengthy discussion about this issue in Chelek Vav Simen Lamed Hei, and he is a machmer, and he says that you're not allowed to open up a keli on Shabbos. He says that he follows the opinion that we just quoted from the Tosfos. He says that the Shulchan Aruch paskens like Tosfos, that the only keli you could break open on Shabbos is an inferior vessel. A vessel that, a keli which is a good keli wasn't broken and then fixed, the halacha is you can't open it up. And therefore, he holds you can't open up containers on Shabbos, and he says, unless there's a real tzorich, that means you didn't know before Shabbos you're going to need this food, guest showed up unexpectedly, otherwise, he says, you can't open it up, unless there's a real tzorich. I assume the reason he's more lenient when there's a real tzairich, goes back to the Rashba that we explained, because the Rashba explained that when there's an Oynik Shabbos involved, maybe he has a more limited definition of an Oynik Shabbos, it means something that you weren't anticipating, we could be Mekel. The Miches Yitzchak also discusses the Shaila in Chelek Dalid, Simon Pei Beis, and he says two reasons to be Mekel. He says, in the world that we live in, when we open up a keli, a soda bottle, or anything like that, when we open them on Shabbos, we're not intending to reuse them. When is it considered that you're making a keli? When you open it up with an intention to use it again and again. But where it's disposed, when you're going to dispose of it, then it's not considered you made a keli. But that isn't so simple. Because what does that mean? Yes, if you open up a can of sardines, you open up a can of tuna fish. So you're going to empty out the fish from that can and discard the can. So you certainly didn't make a keli. But let's say you open up a bottle of soda. So typically, you're not going to drink up the entire bottle of soda just after you opened it. So you're going to open up the bottle, take some soda or whatever, drink it, and then close it again and use it again. So that maybe is considered making a keli. So he suggests that what one can do to avoid the shaila is by poking or making a hole in the bottle cap. So certainly at that point, it's not going to be able to be used as a keli. It has a hole in it. And there, he's lenient. Ramesha has a tshuva regarding opening a milk carton in Or Chaim Chelek Dalid Simen Ayin Ches. So he says, as we know, the way milk cartons are made, you have the two flaps that are first obviously opened, and then they're glued together. And the question is, could you open them up on Shabbos? Because you're opening it, by opening it up, you're making it to the keli, and it's going to be a keli that's going to be reused, as I just explained. Typically, people don't use up the entire milk in the milk carton right after they open it up. So, one of the Hetairim Ramosha discusses, and that's a basic question to this, a basic point to this entire discussion, if an opening up one of these containers is considered a making a keli, the definition of a keli is something which is meant to take things out of, which of course all bottles are made for that purpose, but it's also meant to put things into. And people don't typically put other liquids into the middle carton or other liquids even into the bottle of soda they opened. So therefore, it's not a full-fledged considered making a keli, certainly not midaraisa. However, it should be, and Ramosha suggests, it's a issamid rabbonim. But maybe, since it was already open, we go back to the Taisvis that we quoted earlier. If it was opened, because before the flaps were glued together, they were obviously open and then closed. So, where Taisvis said that when we're dealing with an inferior keli, and Taisvis defined an inferior keli, something that was broken and repaired, so Ramosha discusses is having the flaps open and then closing them, consider that you're just opening a repaired keli, which Taisa said is not considered a maisa of opening or making a keli, and that's what our Mishnah said. So Ramosha is machmer. And Ramosha says, since we see that when they attach these flaps together, when they glue them together, they're glued together very strongly, and it's not easy to detach them. So he says that's not what Taisus means. Taisus means where even after you glue the pieces of the keli together, it's obvious that this is not a very strong, sturdy keli. But in a klais where they're strongly glued together and nothing comes out and it's very secure, That's not called a broken keli that was fixed. That's called a full-fledged keli. And Rav Moshe therefore held that you may not open such a carton on Shabbos, and that those milk cartons should be opened from before Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah. Vein noikfin megufa shel chavis. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. If you have a stopper in your keli and you want to make a hole in it to get the wine out, the halacha is that you may not do so. Again, Rabbi Yehuda holds that that's called making a Pesach. That's called opening up a keli, which is aser. The chachamim, however, the chachamim say it's mutter. And the Gemara will explain what the machlokes is. Furthermore, however, everybody agrees that you're not allowed to make a hole on the side of this keli. Now the Mishnah goes into a different halacha. If your keli had a hole, you shouldn't put on it wax on the place where that hole is in order to close up the hole. By smearing the wax on that place, there's a different malacha involved. As we learned earlier in Daf Ayin Gimel, that one of the malachas on Shabbos was b'machik, smoothing out the leather. And therefore, the difference between b'machik and mericha is that one is with a keli and one is just with your hand. And both of them are considered a iser, the raisa of memachik. Amar Yehuda, ma'isabal of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai ba'orev. There was a situation where such a question came up in Orev, where somebody closed up the hole with wax. V'amar, and Rabbi Yochanan said, chashashana lo mechatis, I'm concerned that he was over nisa the raisa of memachik by putting on the wax. Why is it only chashashani? Why was it only a concern? Why wasn't it certainly an issa deraisa? So mamachik is only if you smear the wax. But if you just place it, then it's not mamachik. And that's why he said it was only chashashani, but not certain. Says the Gemara. Amar Rabbeisha. Going back to the first halacha that we learned in the Mishnah. Lo shanu, the Mishnah that says you could open up a barrel to take a knife for this purpose, was only talking about when the barrel was full of pressed figs. So you're going to need a knife to cut apart the figs, and therefore you're allowed to take the knife already to open up the keli, as we discussed, why there's no issur in opening the keli. But, Abum Farodos, if the figs that are in the basket are not put together, not pressed together, so you don't need a knife to separate them, then the halacha is you can't take a knife to cut off the top of the keli. Ask the Gemara, umafrodis loy, if the basket is full of figs that are not attached to each other, you can't still bring a knife to take off the top of the keli? Meisvei, ask the Gemara, Rav Shimon Gamaliel Omer, maybe Adam is a chavish shel yayin, a person could take a barrel of wine, or matas roshe b'sayif, and take a knife and cut off the top of the barrel, or menich lefnei orchem b'shabbos, and then put the barrel of wine in front of the guests that they could have wine to drink on Shabbos, v'en achoshish, and he didn't do anything wrong. So we see that we could take a knife to open up the keli in a permissible manner. Answers the Gemara, Ahi, that represents the opinion of Rabbanan. However, Masnisan represents the opinion of Rav Nechemya, which we know Rav Nechemya's opinion is that ain keli nitl, you could only take a keli ela latashmin hamayuchaloi. You could only use a knife for what it was meant to be used. So knife, it was meant to cut the figs that are pressed together. So since you're taking the knife for the purpose of cutting apart these pressed together figs, so you already could use it to cut off the top of the keli. But otherwise, you could never, according to Rabbi Nechemya, take a knife for what it wasn't designated for. So the Tosfos Rosh asks, knives aren't only used to cut apart figs, knives are also used to cut open the keli. So why does the Gemara say, ask the Tosfos Rosh, that I'm only allowed to take the knife because I'm allowed to use the knife to cut the press together figs, so I already have the had to take the knife. And don't I use a knife, as the Tosfos Rosh, to cut off a keli? So he says that normally when they opened up kelim, they didn't use a knife. Yes, you could use a knife, and maybe in Hilchos Shabbos, particularly as we explained a few moments ago, it might be the best way to open up a keli, but that isn't the way baskets are typically opened. And since that isn't the way the baskets are typically opened, you're not allowed to use a keli for that purpose. Ask the Gemara, why does Rabbi Oishi try to explain that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Chemya? And he's going to say that the Mishnah is talking about drusas, that the figs were pressed together. Lukma, let's say that the Mishnah is even speaking about mufaradas, where they're not pressed together, and you don't need the knife to cut the figs apart, but you're still allowed to take the knife to open up the keli, because it's representing the opinion of the Rabbanon. Wouldn't we preferably explain that Mishnah that it should follow the opinion of the Rabbanon, which is the halacha? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava Masnisin Kashisha. The wording of our Mishnah pushed us to try to explain it like Rav Nechemya. Because my area, the Tani Groigris, what our Mishnah speak about figs? What's so special about figs? Listen to Paris, our Mishnah should speak about any fruit. El Shmamina, our Mishnah is trying to teach us that we're talking about figs that are drusas, that are pressed together. And that's why I'm allowed to take the knife, because our Mishnah represents the opinion of Nechemya that you only could take a knife for what it was tashmish ha-miyuchad like. Says the Gemara, Tanya Chada, we learned the one braisa, Chosle shal groigus v'shal tamarim, you're allowed to untie the rope that puts together baskets of dry figs or dates. U'mafkia v'choytach, he may unravel those ropes v'choytach, and he may cut them. However, says the Gemara, v'tanya idach, there's a different braisa that says, matter, you could untie them, v'loy mafkia, you can't unravel v'loy choytach, nor cut them. How do we reconcile these two braises? Loikasha, harabon or harmonchemna. What does that mean? According to Rabbanan, you could use a keli for any purpose. As if you could take a keli to cut them open. Rav Nechemya, the Tanya, as we just learned, Rav Nechemya Oimer, a filu tarvid, a spoon, a filu talus, a filu sakar, a knife, ain't a toron el tzorach tashmishin. And if this is not what this was meant for, so I can't take a knife to cut it apart. So this Gemara, Rav Ozner Zatzal, and the Shailos HaTshuvos Shevet HaLevi, discusses the question, this is in Chelik Ches, Simen Nun Hey, you have these twisters, are you allowed to twist them? A lot of people put the challah into plastic bag, and then they put a twister on top of them, and they take out the challah. Are they allowed to tie, roll up or unroll those twisters on Shabbos? So he says that Rav Ozner was makel. He says, number one, it's not an issue of kesher because it's not meant to be there permanently. And it's not even really a situation of kesher. Furthermore, that it's not considered kesher because it's not really tying together. He also says that even though the Rambam holds the Paisel Chavolim, twisting ropes is also on Shabbos, he says that's when you have two ropes and you're tying them together, you're weaving them together. Here I'm just taking this one piece and twisting it, and therefore he held that and it's not a Derech Kesher, it's just really twisting them. He was Makel. I did see, however, that Rav Eliyoshev Zatzal was Machmer, and he said that one should try to avoid using these twisters on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, by my name Rav Sheshes. Ma levivris chavita beburti b'Shabbos. Are you allowed to put into the barrel of wine a spear on Shabbos? Are you allowed to just poke a hole into the barrel of wine on Shabbos? What's the question? Does it mean that the person is intending to making an opening to this keli, to this basket? That means he's intending to make a keli, and therefore to be usher. Yafika Mechavin. He's only trying to create a situation where it should be easier to get the wine out. But it's not that he's trying to make it into a keli. Amalei, so they told him, L'pischa Mechavin, it's considered that he's making a Pesach, and therefore it's Osir. Meisvei, asked the Gemara, the Brisa says of Shimon Gamaliel Omer, maybe we quoted this earlier, maybe Adam Chavish al Yayin, you could bring a barrel of wine, or Matis Roish Bisayef and cut off the opening with a knife. Why? According to this, it should be Osir. Answers the Gemara, Hasam, where you're just cutting off the top of the barrel of wine, Vadal Ayin Yofer Kamechavin. He only is intending to make it easier to get the wine out. And since that's his entire intention, it's mutter. Hacha, but by the spear that's being put into the side of the barrel, and Isa de la'ayin yofa kamechavin, if that were his intention, liftuvche miftach. He should have just taken out the stopper. Why did he do this? It must be that he wanted to make a Pesach. We learned in the Mishnah, ein neik v'mekuva, you're not going to make a hole in the stopper. That's the Yehuda. The Rabbanan say it's mutter. But then the Mishnah continued saying that everybody agrees that v'lo yikivenu mitzido. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? Amar Rav Huna, machloikis lamala. The machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan is regarding making a machloikis, making a hole in the top of a stopper. Amar menatzad, on the side of the stopper, Divrei Hakol Osir, everybody agrees that it's Osir. And that's what the Mishnah said, what it meant when it said, Lo yikvenu mitzeda. You can't make a hole into the side of the stopper. Rav Chizda has a different interpretation. Machlaikis, the Machlaikis of Yehuda, and the Rabbanon is menatzad when you're making the hole in the side of the stopper. Because that was the way that they used to sometimes make a hole to extract the wine that's in the barrel. Aval al Gaba, on the top of the stopper, that's not the way that they would open up the stopper to get the wine out, the Reakamotor. And therefore he explains when the Mishnah said the words Layikmenim Sida means Hasim Gufa de Chavis. It doesn't mean the side of the stopper, it means the side of the barrel. Puncturing and making a hole in the barrel itself is awesome. Continues the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. The Braisa teaches us, Ein noik v'neka chodesh v'shabbos. We're not allowed to make a new hole in a vessel on Shabbos. However, in Bala Hosef Moisef, we want to enlarge an existing hole, we may do so. V'yesh Omrim, but there is another opinion that Ein Moisefin, that you're not allowed to enlarge an existing hole. V'shavin, but everybody agrees, Shenoik v'neka v'yashar l'chatchila. To open up an old hole is permitted. The Tanakama asked the Gemara, why does the Tanakama not like Maishtam and Nekav Chodesh Deloi, why are you not allowed to make a new hole? The Ka Miskavim Misakim Pischa. You're making an opening to the Keli, which is considered making a Keli. So why shouldn't the same be a Sufanami Ka Misakim Pischa? When you are lodging a hole, why should that be any different? Answers the Gemara. Amar Rabba, Davat Torah, as we mentioned earlier in our shiur, the Midaraisa, what is the definition of making a Pesach? Midaraisa, the definition of making a Pesach, is called Pesach She'en Osu L'Hachnas Loitzi, that is not meant both to bring things in and take things out, is not Midaraisa in a Pesach, is not considered a Pesach. V'Rabbanan Hu D'Gozer, the Rabbanan said that all kind of openings should not be made, the Lul Shatana Goylem, because of an opening by the chicken coop. Because if you think about the opening of a chicken coop, David Lail Avira, it's made to bring air into the chicken coop where it gets very hot and very foul smell. Ulafuki Havla, and to get the harmful vapor out. And people don't realize that that's why chicken coop doors are made. So in order to prevent people from being mechal Shabbos by making holes in their chicken coops, Chazal said that all openings, even openings that are clearly only intended for one-way transfer, what I just mentioned, the coal of a keli that's holding wine, which is only meant to let out the wine, not to bring in the wine. It's a small hole. Chazal said you shouldn't do because of that gezeira. Vimbala hoisif lot moisif, and therefore the halach is you can't make a new opening, but if you just want to enlarge an opening, you're allowed to. Why? Because a sufa vadai, if it's coming to enlarge an opening, nobody's going to say that by chicken coop we don't have that consideration. Because the Tanagolim suggests the Tanakama le'asul sufi. People don't enlarge chicken coop openings, mishum riksha. They don't want to have those openings too big because they're concerned that different creeping crawlers will go in. So if the entire concern is to get confused with the opening of a chicken coop, here we don't have that concern. V'yesh amrim. But some say that we may not even enlarge an opening of any keli. Eimay sifin. Zimna delay mektakni mikara, because by the chicken coop as well, sometimes the door wasn't made properly in the first place, and it isn't wide enough. This is larvuchibe. So if the concern that is that we're going to get confused with a chicken coop, we're going to get concerned not only when it comes to, we're not going to get confused not only in the situation where we're making the door from scratch, but even in a situation where we are enlarging it. And therefore, the Yesh Ayrim hold that we're not allowed to enlarge any opening. And says the Gemara, Darish Rav Nachman Shim Rav Yochanan, that the halacha is Ki Yesh Ayrim, that not only may a hole not be made on Shabbos, but you're not even allowed to enlarge it. We learned in the Braisa, V'shavin, that at the end of the Braisa said, Shonoik fin nek v'yach shel chatchila. Everybody agrees that you can open up an old hole. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmu, Lo Yishanu, when is the halacha that you can open up an old hole on a wine basket, barrel? El v'makom sh'asher l'shamer, where it's only there to preserve the aroma of the wine. Therefore, in this case, it's not considered that you're really making a new opening for the basket. Avel chazik, if you made it, if the hole was there where it was meant to strengthen the straw, the cask, that type of opening is a much stronger opening, and usur, you can't open up that opening on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, Hechidami l'shamer, how do I know if the plug is there just to preserve the aroma from escaping? And Hechidami l'chazik, or that the plug is there to strengthen the wine? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, L'malam min hayayin, if the plug is above the level of the wine, so it's there l'shamer, it's obviously there to preserve the wine aroma. L'matam min hayayin, if it's lower on in the basket where there's actual wine, zeh l'chazik, that plug is there to protect the wine. Rav Amar, L'matam min hayayin, even if it's below where there is wine, it's there only l'shamer. I could suggest that Rav says it's only there to preserve the aroma. When is it l'chazik? Hechidami l'chazik, k'goyin shemata nikva l'matam l'shmarim, when it's all the way at the bottom of the basket. There, obviously, all of the pressure of the wine that's in that barrel is pressing down on that area. So if you make a plug, you're obviously making it to preserve the strength of the wine. Amaloi, Abaye l'rova, Tanya de Messiah, I bring you a raya to your opinion. The Gemara Masechta Baba Basra, that Yud Aleph, teaches us that according to Rav Chisda, which the halacha is like Rav Chisda, that a person, their homes open to chatzeris. So let's say you have a person that had two homes and the person passed away. And one home went to one child, and one home went to another child. The halacha is that every entrance to the home is entitled to Dalet Amos. So if you have one home has two doors, so the one home with two doors, that home, each one of the doors gets Dalet Amos, and the home with one door will only get Dalet Amos, and the rest of the chatzer is divided. But teaches us the Braisa, Bayis Chosim, even if the entrance to the door is closed, yesh lo arba amos, it still gets dalet amos. However, paritzis betzimov, if you took down the door frame, and like Alba Amos, he doesn't get Dalet Amos for that area anymore. So what do we see from there? What we see from there is that once you take down, there's a difference what you did, a difference where you made the plug. There's a difference how you broke down the door. The Braisa continues, the halacha is that a home, if there's a mace in a home, obviously everything in the house is tumas oil. But a house is not considered a kever. Because there's a new halacha that not only avad obviously is a kever matama, but four amis around a kever is also matama. So, bayisosim, if you have a house where as a nifter in there, and a matama kol svivav, the area around the home is not tamei. However, paris is ptsimav, if you took down all the doorways, and therefore the doorway now is not, there's no exit and entrance into this place, so obviously it now becomes a kever. And the halacha is the matama kol svivav, the entire area around Dalet Amos of that kever is matama. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. There are other Rishonim that have a different pshat in this Gemara. The halacha is that a house becomes tumas oil. And what about the doorways of the house? So the halacha is every doorway is also tumay, the outside of the doorway, because the mace may be taken out of the house by that through that doorway. But in a situation where the doorway has been completely closed up, so then there's no concern that that doorway is going to be used to have the mace go out through it, and the area under the doorway would not be considered part, if it's on the outside of the house, would not be considered tumas oil. One other place where this is a nafkamina la'alocha is all doorways, even doorways that are not typically used, a mechuyv and mezuzah. Even if you have a door that's closed up and nobody uses that doorway, you're mechuyv to put up a mezuzah. The only time that there's no longer a chiyuv mezuzah on that doorway is when it's paratz p'tzimav. Continues the Mishnah. Gufsa, regarding a spigot, putting a spigot in an existing hole in a wine cask. Rav Osir, Rav said you may not do it, for Shmuel Shari, and Shmuel said you may do it. B'chatech l'tchila, so the Gemara explains the machlokes. B'chatech l'tchila, to take off a piece of wood, a piece of grass, to use as a spigot, says the Gemara, the kulam l'pligid osir, everybody agrees that that's osir. Adure, if you already have it properly formed and you want to put it back, kulam l'pligid to show you that that's mutter. Ki pligi, the machlokes is the chatchichtcha v'loi mechatcha. You already had it cut off to be serve as a spigot, but you didn't trim it properly. Manda osur, the one that says you can't use that, holds gazrinin, that if we're going to allow you to use it, duma osur mechtech latchila, you may come to cut it in the first place. Manda shari, and the one that says you could use it, says loy gazrinin, chazal did not make such a gzeira. Says the Gemara, ketanoi, it seems to be that this is the same as machlokes tanoim. The halach is ain't chaytchin shaferes biyantif. On yantif, we're now allowed to cut a tube to be a spigot for a cask. Vein tzarech leimen b'shabes, nafla. But if it fell out of the hole, chazir nosa b'shabes. You could put it back on Shabbos. Vein tzarech leimen biyantif. Rabbi Yishe says the Braisa says Rabbi Yishe is meikel. Ask the Gemara what is meant when the Braisa said Rabbi Yishe meikel. Rabbi Yishe ahai. What does that mean? Ilay ma'reisha. That he says that you're allowed to trim a spigot for the basket, for the barrel. How come a sack of money? How could you suggest that Rabbi Yishe would allow you to do that? Ela Seifa. We're talking about the second part of the Braisa that allows it to be put back. Says the Gemara, Tane Namikam and Namishkishari. The Tanakam would also allow you to put the spigot back. Ela. The chaticha must be that the machloikas is that it was already cut, but it hasn't been perfectly trimmed. Could I use it? Ikamanai. Masov, the Tanakama holds that we're not allowed to do it because we're concerned if we're going to allow you to do that, you may come to cut it in the first place on Shabbos. Masov, aloy gazrinin. Dorosh, Rav Sheshish, Breider of Idi Mishmeider of Yochanan, the halacha is Krabayishia, that if it's already cut, I could use it. The mice in the kuva, we learned further, if it's already perforated, he can't put wax on it. Says the Gemara Mishka, what about oil, thick oil? Rav Asur, Vishmul Shari. Manda Asur, Gazri Mishum Shava. If I'm going to allow you to use thick oil, you may come to use wax. Manda Shava, Manda Shari, the one that says it's Mutta, like Gazrinin, it doesn't make Xero oil because of wax. Amalei Shmu Babchanel Rabbi Yosef, Beferish Matlon Mishmei de Rav. Rav, we learned that even Rav held the Mishka Shari. There's no machlokes. Everybody will agree that oil is mutter. Amr Tavis Rishba Amr Shmuel. Tavis Rishba said in the name of Shmuel, Hai Tarfa de Asa. They used to put a leaf into the hole of a cask, is Asa. My Tama, why is it Asa? Rav Yehemi Medifti Amar. We're concerned that the leaf was used as a gutter, easy to pour things, to have things pour out of the keli, and we're concerned that you're going to make a gutter on Shabbos. Ravashi Amar Gzeir Shemayikdam. The Gzeir is you may come to pluck the leaf. Ask the Ramai Benayu, what's the nafkamina between these two reasons? Ik Benayu, the Katam Manchi, where you already have leaves there from before. If the concern is that you're going to cut, here we don't have to worry, because you already have cut leaves from before. If the concern is that you're going to make a gutter, it wouldn't help that you have leaves from before. There's a machlokes rishonim, how many leaves that you have to have before. The Torah says that you have to have many leaves prepared. The Beis Yosef holds that if you have two leaves, it's adequate. Beis Sadia. So now the Gemara begins a new discussion regarding felt padding. And somebody wants to carry out the felt padding by putting it around his body. Is that considered a malbush, and therefore it's not considered carrying, or not, and it's Asur? Rav Asur, Rav says you may not. You may not wrap this padding around you and use it as a malbush and be able to carry it on Shabbos. V'shmul Shari. Says the Gemara Barakin, when it's soft, the kulamuloi pligi de shari, because it certainly could be considered a beged. Bekoshin, when it's stiff, the kulamuloi pligi de asur, that's not a beged. Ki pligi bemitzi, they're not that stiff and they're not that soft. Man de asur, mexikamasi. The one that says it's asur says, this looks like you're carrying something. A man de shari le mexikamasi. And therefore it's mutter. Says the Gemara, however, v'hod de rav, this the rav's said it's Osir, says the Gemara Labeferish Itmer. It's not that we heard Rav expressly say you're not allowed to do it. El Mechlal Itmer was discerned from something that happened. The Rav Ikla who Asra, Havale Racha. Rav came to a certain place where there wasn't enough room for everybody to sit. Nofak Yosef Karmas. So there wasn't enough room. They sat outside in a Karmas. Isolate Beis Sadia. They brought him felt padding by wearing it, so he could sit, not have to sit on the floor, and lo Yosef. But Rav refused to sit down. So man de Chazia, the people who saw this happen, Sover, they assumed that the reason Rav refused to sit down is Mishun de Beis Sadia Asur. Wearing felt is called carrying, and therefore he didn't want to sit on something that was carried on Shabbos. V'lohi, that wasn't really what happened. Rav Avruzi Masri Beis Sadia Shari, he held that if you wear the padding, that's called a malbush, and it's a legitimate way to carry on Shabbos. So why didn't he sit down when they brought the padding that way? It was for a different reason. Mishum Kvod Rav Nisenu Lo Yoshev Aleh. They didn't bring enough padding for everybody. And Rav didn't want to sit down where he would sit, and there would be other rabbanim who didn't have padding to sit on, would have to sit directly on the floor. Who were those rabbanim that Rav was concerned about? Ma'ninu? Says the Gemara of Kahana of Rav Asi, he was concerned for their covet.